B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
From the Town Fair Tire Studio, it is Gasper and Murray here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. An abbreviated show this morning as the Boston Bruins have a matinee game over at TD Garden today against the visiting Nashville Predators. We've got the pregame starting at 12:30. The Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame show with Judd Surratt and Bob Beers. So you just have 90 minutes with yours truly, Jim Murray, alongside Chris Gasper of the Boston Globe. And we have Tim McCone with us as well. And you at 617-779-0985. So in the next 90 minutes, we'll touch on a terrible couple of weeks for the New England Patriots, capped off this week with the news of Josh Gordon's indefinite suspension. The challenge the Patriots might be facing with tomorrow's game against the Buffalo Bills, because everyone that I've talked to this week that actually covers the team for a living and is around them thinks they are going to have a tough game tomorrow. But why don't we begin, Chris, with the underachieving Boston Celtics, who are quickly becoming the basketball equivalent to the 2011 Boston Red Sox. A lot of talent. Not a lot of cohesion, a whole lot of hype going into the season, and getting increasingly unlikable with each and every game. In the event you didn't watch last night's game or hear what happened in the update with Tim McCone, they lose their third straight game. They fall to the Milwaukee Bucks at home last night, 120-107. At one point, I looked up earlier, I was like, okay, they're kind of cruising here, 10-1. And then seemingly in 30 seconds, they were down 20. And it was a mess from there on. And then they hold a closed-door meeting following this blowout, and it don't feel great right now with this team.
No, I mean, it's interesting, you know, to hold a closed-door meeting, you know, at this point in the season, particularly when Al Horford and Marcus Morris didn't even play, tells you that there are some underlying issues there. And, you know, they didn't talk too much about it, but they kept sort of saying it was much needed. And if you could read between the lines and body language of guys who spoke last night, if you happen to watch the post game on NBC Sports Boston, it seemed like they were trying to check each other in terms of selfish play, and that maybe a couple of people had some things to say to Jason Tatum about the way he was playing. And if I were any of those guys, boy, would I have had a lot of things to say to Brad Stevens and Gordon Hayward about Gordon Hayward being on the court and him taking 13 shots and hitting three of them, two of which were layups. I probably would have been checking Gordon Hayward pretty hard.
Yeah, he is he's a mess, and I thought he had turned a corner a few Saturdays back in that game on the road against Minnesota, the 30-point game,
yeah.
Where it looked like he had some kind of mental breakthrough in terms of working through this injury and coming back from it, because I remember he missed a dunk or layup early in that game, and he was really frustrated with himself, and then from there it was like he had this epiphany, like, okay, I'm going to go hard to the hoop, and I'm going to have the game that I should have had by now coming back from this injury. And granted, like, you know, it's going to take some time here, but like, come on, you know, I don't think it's the physical aspect anymore. It's all in his head, and he has that 30-point night, and he had some good games afterwards. But since then we see inconsistent Gordon Hayward again, and then flat out terrible Gordon Hayward like last night. Like, dude, why are you getting this many minutes? Because what, you're Brad's binky, and there's that whole Butler connection here, and he picked you up in the Prius at Logan when you ended up coming and signing the deal here. Like, there's a lot going on with this team right now. None of it good. And this closed-door meeting last night is just a microcosm of it all. And you talk about Jason Tatum, too, who has been maybe the biggest underachiever and the biggest disappointment thus far. He was asked. I'm glad finally somebody asked it, because you know what this closed-door meeting proved to me?
What?
And some of the commentary from these guys afterwards? Everything we thought, it's all true.
That's a good point.
It's all true that they bought into the hype. And so Jason Tatum was asked, hey, were you guys buying into the hype surrounding this team and some of the press clippings? Are you looking at that stuff and, you know, all the articles that are being written about you, the cover of Slam Magazine for Jason Tatum, the cover of ESPN Magazine and the NBA preview, all the high expectations? We've been talking about that because we're left here to speculate as, you know,
Warriors
talking heads
East, and, you know, all that stuff.
And fans. So Jason, were you guys actually reading the press clippings and buying into the hype? Hmm?
Yeah. I mean, we got a very talented group. Human nature can cause you to, you know, to listen to all the hype that was surrounding us and things like that. But, you know, especially in the regular season, the team that plays the hardest usually wins on any given night. And just being consistent. So we got to be consistent and play hard. And the rest will take care of itself.
So there you go. Vindication for anyone that thought that. And proof that, yes, you know, a lot, Tatum specifically, yeah, he was buying into the hype. I guess the easy question and the most, you know, the simple question is, can it be fixed? Do you trust Brad Stevens? Because this is the first time he's had to deal with egos, right? Like, he was able to
this level, yeah.
Yeah. So can it be fixed? And what is the fixed? And if it continues this route, are guys going to be shipped out?
I wouldn't be surprised. That might be one of the fixes, believe it or not. You know, I think there actually is such a thing as having too much talent. And if you're not meshing as a team, maybe somebody needs to be subtracted at this point, because there are guys that are concerned about things other than winning, whether it's establishing their reputations in the league, reaching the next level, next rung on the ladder in the league in terms of who they are, whether it's contracts they're going to get, whether it's not being perceived as six men, whatever you want to say. I think that there are some other agendas here that are getting in the way. And I think one of the other issues, you talked about Gordon Hayward, and it's not all Gordon Hayward's fault. You know, I don't want to put it all on him. But the reality of this is, for some of those young guys, they look at it right now and say, well, you know, Brad has sort of always preached that this thing is a meritocracy, and this guy's not better than me. And so why is he getting shots and minutes right now? You know, what's going on? That's the reality of the NBA, that Hayward was a marquee free agent. He has a relationship with Brad. They want to get him back to where he was. I think they feel a responsibility to Hayward to give him this time and help nurture him back. But if you're Terry Rozier or Jaylen Brown or Tatum, don't you sort of look at it and you're like, why are we running plays for this guy?
Yes.
Like, because right now, like last night, he was like a G League level player. And you're like, how's this guy playing 36 minutes and taking 13 shots and taking pull-up jumpers with the shot clock running down? What are we doing? Why are we doing this? Like, this guy should be sitting next to Brad Wanamaker on the bench. And I should be out there playing.
Yeah.
And I think that can seep in. And I think it has.
Yeah, it's unbelievable because, again, they have enough talent. I think the expectations were correct going into this season. But sometimes, like you said, it's too much talent. And I'm not going to be shocked if this continues down this road, because now the schedule is going to get increasingly more difficult. Someone's going to have to go. And, I mean, I don't think they're going to.
Well, unless they turn it around and accept their roles. And they started to accept their roles during that 8-game winning streak. And it's not a coincidence that when you had two guys who are role players, Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris, inserted into the lineup, it started to click. I mean, I don't think that's a coincidence. So I think you give it, you know, another 10 to 12 games and see if guys are willing to accept roles. And if they're not, then I think you seriously have to consider moving on from somebody, you know, and then we get into that discussion. Well, who would you move on from? It's not going to be Marcus Smart or Marcus Morris. I mean, realistically, it's probably only Rozier. Like, he's like the only guy that I could look at and say, like, they would move on from.
The thing, well, you say it's going to, you know, give it another 10 games or so.
Yeah.
And looking at the standings in the East right now, and it just feels like at this point to me, like, you can forget about the 1 or 2 seed. You know, I don't think you're going to catch the Raptors, who I think believe doing the, well, don't do math on air, Jim. They're 5.5 behind them for the 1 seed, and the Bucks now, is it 3.5? And the Bucks look far and away better than them right now. And Giannis Antetokounmpo looks like the league MVP, but, you know, this were to start right now, and granted, they have, what, 49, 50 more games to go in this season, but you're on the road in round one against the Philadelphia 76ers. I just don't see, in terms of standing, how this is really going to change all that much. Like, to me, at best, even if they do fix things, they're going to end up at the 3. Like,
yeah,
considering,
I mean, so,
what the expectations were, yeah, like, that's kind of unbelievable.
No, I mean, it was supposed to be, you know, they were supposed to own the East, and then it was supposed to be everybody else, and obviously we were wrong about that. You know, I'm not going to bail on them yet. I mean, you're 5.5 back of Toronto. I think that could be tough. But if you look at, you know, Milwaukee, I know that's right now, that's 4 games. It sounds like a lot, but I don't think it's impossible. Let's see what happens. I mean, if they can tap into their potential, like, would it be surprising if they reeled off a 15 or 16 game win streak? I know right now it would be, but given their talent level, when they get Horford back, and if they're able to solidify some of these roles, you know, we'll see. The issue, though, is if you have one of these team meeting, you know, summit/airing of grievances, and then you don't go out and play well, well, what do you do now? Like, okay, great, you had a 36-minute team meeting and everybody, you know, said their piece, but what if you go out there and still perform the same way? Well, now what are you going to do? You know, I mean, talk is cheap. Like, you know, action is what matters. So let's see what they do moving forward from here. You can talk all you want. This is a team that's done a lot of talking and not enough winning.
Oh, well, speaking of talking incessantly, here's Kyrie Irving after the closed-door meeting following the blowout to the Bucks.
At this point, it really comes down to that cohesion, you know, really being able to trust the pass, trust what we got going out there. There's obviously some selfish play going out there where obviously we have very talented guys, but we're better as a team when we're moving the basketball. And if it gets down to the end of the shot clock, that's when we start shooting our ISO plays rather than, you know, if we had nothing to transition, shooting with 16 or 17 on the clock or guys shooting fadeaways or something like that. I get caught up in that as well. And for me, it's a hard challenge because there's a balance that I have. I literally can do anything I want out there anytime I want. But at the same time, it's what can I do for my teammates to be more successful? So, you know, just being more conscientious of that.
The end of that clip bugs me because here's a guy for the, you know, for the first couple of months of this season who's going back and forth whether or not he wants to be a leader based on how he's talking. You know, on the one hand, it sounds like at some points he wants to be the leader of this team. And then, you know, when they were in the last swoon that they were in, he's saying they got to bring in a 14 or 15 year veteran to try to, you know, righten the ship. So he says, I can do anything I want out there anytime I want. But at the same time, it's what can I do for my teammates to be more successful? So to me, I hear that he's talking about the young guys, Tatum, Brown, guys like that. Dude, those guys actually made it to Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals without you. So that if I'm so it's a odd juxtaposition. On the one hand, I would like him to take a leadership role. But on the other hand, if I'm in the shoes of Tatum or Brown, I'd be like, dude, we got there without you. Like, you're going to go out there and say this kind of stuff to the media? Like, I don't know. So this is like what went on in that meeting. It didn't seem to me like all that much got solved when he's saying stuff like this.
It definitely did not. It seemed like maybe the veteran guys were. Doesn't it feel like there's a little bit of a power struggle for this team? Like, what's the identity of this team? Like, the young guys, like you said, are like, look, we made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Last year, Game 7 in our building, you know, and then you have some of the veteran guys that are kind of like, well, we're the vets, and this is based on seniority. And look, Kyrie's the best player on the team. There's no question about that. But in terms of being able to do whatever you want, whenever you want, look, he's a tremendously talented player, and I love watching him play. But you don't say that after you shot 7 for 20 and your team got smoked. I mean, they were down by 26. If you could do whatever you want, then you would have beaten the Milwaukee Bucks, and you wouldn't have shot 7 of 20. If you could do whatever you want, then, you know, you'd make sure that Gordon Hayward was better than 3 of 13. So I just think that sometimes maybe the self-awareness is lacking a little bit sometimes, I think, with Kyrie in terms of what he's saying. There's truth to it, but the way it's going to be perceived and the way it comes off, I'm not sure he...
Oh, it comes off as so arrogant.
I'm not sure he always recognizes it. And then I think there are times that he does and he just doesn't care.
Yeah.
And I think that actually, you know, hurts sort of what he's trying to establish as a leader.
It's a fraud shift for Gasper and I this morning, and Tim McCone's alongside as well. He's a hoop head. And McCone, I want to know your thoughts on this team that feels more wretched by the game in this ugly loss to the Bucks last night, followed by the closed-door meeting, and it didn't feel like anything got solved in terms of some of the commentary from these guys afterwards, like Kyrie Irving, like we just played. So let's hear from you as well at 617-779-0985. We'll get to Josh Gordon and the Patriots as well. Just 90 minutes of Gasper and Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I literally can do anything I want out there anytime I want.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Caleb Brown will not shoot. Black will hit triple zeros, and that will do it. Celtics suffer their worst loss of the year, beaten tonight by 13. A couple of fool's gold comebacks fall short in the third and fourth quarter, and the Bucks take advantage of the shorthanded Celtics, who fall farther back in the Eastern Conference standings. Final score, Milwaukee 120, Boston 107.
We have to play better. I mean, I don't really operate in the, you know, on a meter of concern. I just know we got to play a lot better to be the team we want to be and to compete against a team like that.
They outplayed us. I think they dominated the glass. You know what I mean? We gave them some easy baskets. Some personnel, some game plan stuff that we got mixed up on, and we ended up losing.
We definitely not where we want to be, and that's to be expected. We got 49 games left. We don't want to be as good right now. You know, save it to later on in the year.
49 more games left to go. This is where teams kind of really show what they're made of throughout the next 20 games, next 30 games or whatnot, and this is a very unique position for certain guys to be in.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. mean, we're only on for 90 minutes today. Typically, we would save this kind of thing for the Sports Hub Celtics show at noon, which we're still going to do, and, like, we'll play all the, you know, the imaging, fancy radio word for saying, you know, we play these little sounders or whatever. But this game was so bad, we have to talk about it right off the top, because there's a real problem with this team. They lose to the Bucks last night at home, 120-107. They've now lost three straight. After the game, the Celtics hold a closed-door meeting following this blowout for, like, what, 36 minutes or whatever that
was? Yeah, 36 minutes, Jim.
And then they all come out. Doesn't sound like much was solved, and it just feels like it's all on the players themselves. This is about chemistry. And it's been about chemistry, I think, since the jump, you know, and that's the problem because there's so much talent there. But I don't know, with some of the commentary that you hear from some of the players, even last night, and that clip we played from Kyrie, like, do these guys kind of hate each other? Do they resent that Gordon Hayward is getting as many minutes as he's getting and that he's starting some of these games as bad as he's been playing? You referred to him as a G League player.
He was last night. He was terrible. Did you see? I think it was definitely first half. I think it was first quarter. There was one play, shot clock running down. He airballed a jumper. He also, during a sequence, like, missed a layup. It was a nice move. He got into the hoop, couldn't finish. And then this is what was the most shocking to me. I mean, Tony Snell, who was just a spot-up shooter, that's all he is. Milwaukee got a switch, and it was Snell with Hayward, and Snell's eyes lit up. The Bucks all backed off to let Tony Snell, go one-on-one with Hayward and take him to the hole, and he did for a layup. Tony Snell, get out of here with that.
No, that's as bad as it gets right there. It's been an ugly three-game stretch for them. I said that they should have been on a 10-game winning streak going into last night's game. They fall to Detroit last week, which you called, so credit to you. Pat yourself on the
back. That's right.
There.
You're kind of right about the Kings. I'm slowly coming to grips with them.
But they lose the other night to the lowly Phoenix Suns, and they follow it up with this. And it's okay. It's a disappointing 31-game start, right? But it just feels like they can't get out of their own way. And they have a much tougher schedule coming up. And if they don't get themselves out of this funk, I have to think that some changes are coming. They have to be. McCone, you're one of the resident hoop heads here at the Sports Hub. What did you make of last night?
I thought last night was a debacle. And I mean, the Celtics team just in general, I know, like, positionless basketball is like the new wave and that's the way to go. But it seems like they just don't have defined roles on this team. And I think that's the biggest issue. Like, you had Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum both excelled in the playoffs last year, but you had some of these bigger pieces that weren't in. And now trying to mix all these guys up, I think, especially for the younger players, I don't think anyone really knows, like, what they're supposed to be doing. Like, Jason Tatum could be the guy in the postseason last year, and now he's trying to take a back seat a little bit or going for it. It just doesn't seem like it works, and anyone really knows what their role on this team is at this point.
And even last night, too, so you can make the argument, it's not even a tough argument to make, but Jaylen Brown was their best player last night. But really, when you looked at that game, if you watched the whole thing, like, how really good was he? He's airballing at the free throw line. Like,
he's good in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, flexing after you dunk on Giannis and getting teed up for it, too. Like, ugh. Like, just some of that stuff. Like, dude, what are you doing? Like, I don't know. It's just the whole attitude that there's a funk emanating from this team, and there has been since game one. And it's just disappointing because the expectations, I think, were rightfully so high. And it just, it hasn't worked.
No, I mean, they haven't meshed yet, and it's a challenge, I think, for Brad. You know what? How do you nurture the young guys and get the most out of them and let them develop without them sort of being stifled? But at the same time, you know, you have Gordon Hayward in there, and you have to find a way to his huge free agent signing. You have to find a way to get him back to being the player you hope that he can be. I mean, Tim said, you know, positionless basketball, and he's right. But I think when I look at some of their guys, Jim, when it's Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Gordon Hayward, like, they all play the same position. Like, what other positions are they going to play? Like, right. I don't really buy Tatum as a small ball four. He's not good at it. He's not good at it on the defensive end. He doesn't rebound enough for it. So you have three wings, and I think it's hard to play those three wings together at times because they all sort of do the same thing. Jaylen Brown's taking a step back defensively. I talked about Gordon Hayward's defense. None of them really rebound. I mean, I know Tatum, the rebound numbers are there, but they're not. If you watch him play, he's not a great rebounder. So you have all these guys that basically do the same thing, and their input to the team is based on offense, and there's one basketball.
I have to give credit to Cam and Taunton, who had the 2011 Red Sox analogy with this Celtics club so far. So we'll start off with Cam and Taunton. Credit to you. I stole that from you on Twitter this morning, Cam. What'd you make of last night in this team so far?
Just, you know, this team is becoming rapidly just despicable. I mean, you know, Matt said this a couple weeks ago. I don't like this team. Their attitudes are terrible. And what worries me above all else is, if you dumped truth serum down Kyrie Irving's throat right now, how do you think he feels about verbally committing to this team before the year started? Because I think he's going to look at Brown and Tatum the same way Butler looked at Towns and Wiggins. You don't get it. I'm out of here.
Yeah, and you never bought it in the first place, and thanks, Kim.
I never bought his ironclad. Look, I think the guy was being sincere at the time, but you know how he is and how he thinks. And so he's going to evaluate stuff at the end of the year, and if he feels like, you know what, I made that commitment prematurely, or this isn't what I think, this isn't what's best for me, he's going to be out. Because at the end of the day, Kyrie Irving doesn't care what you think.
Right.
He doesn't. You know what I mean? And that's cool. I don't have a problem with that. You know, it's one of the things I respect about him, but it's also one of the things where I've been trying to tell people from the jump, like, don't get all wrapped up in him saying he wants to play
here. Yeah, it's not a lock until the ink is dry.
Yeah, because let's see where it is 7 months from now and how he feels about it. Totally, it could be totally different. And like I just said, he's not one of these guys who's going to be like, oh, well, I told him I'd stay, so now I definitely have to stay.
Right.
No, he's going to be like, no, I said I'd stay, meant it at the time, love you, mean it, but now I'm out because this isn't quite what I thought it was.
Mike and Hingham, you're next here on Casper and Murray. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Hey, good. I think you're spot on a lot of this, but there's a bunch of points I'll make and then I'll be quiet. But number one, Hayward's not in shape. He's slow. There's something not right. Number two, it shows how important Horford is. They need to establish an inside presence. When they have meshed this year, it's been temporary, and Horford's been really the core. And he can score inside. Nobody else can score inside. And lastly, you know, you got Theis taking three-pointers. We have enough shooters. I like Theis. I think you can, at this moment, you could package Theis, Hayward, and Rozier to get a swingman veteran. That's just throwing that out there, but I'd rather keep him and make this work. So it's a lot of stuff. I'll just sit back.
Thanks, Mike. Well, they desperately miss Horford in a game last night. I would think he would play, considering the importance in terms of the standings and in the East, and that he's only dealing with what I've been told is, and I'm using air quotes here, knee tendonitis. I would think he'd be able to play through knee tendonitis, but no, he's now missed 7 games. So clearly there's something more going on there. I don't buy that it's just knee tendonitis. Again,
why would you not buy that?
Well, you know, the history of the Celtics. They're always so truthful when
it comes to the bigs, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure it's the same. It's the same as Shaquille O'Neal and Jermaine O'Neal. He'll be back. It's no big deal.
Adrian in Providence wanted to chime in on the comments from Kyrie Irving after the closed-door meeting. Go ahead, Adrian.
What's up, guys? I got 3 points. I'm going to try to go quick. I think I don't have no problem with Kyrie Irving saying. I mean, let's be honest. He's going to get 30 out there easily. So I don't have no issue with that. And also, you could tell Jason Tatum was, like, grilled in that meeting because his press conference, he wasn't having it. And then I think Ainge needs to get a big man because he says that he's counting on Yupacelli, that he could, like, help the team out. But, I mean, come on, let's be real. I think he needs to get a big that could rebound.
Yeah, Adrian, it's a great point on the body language from Jason Tatum.
I know.
You could tell they went in on Tatum.
Yeah,
and good. Like, it's about time. If anyone's played, his defense goes right out the window. And you saw this against Phoenix, and you've seen it time and again so far this season. His shots don't drop. The shoulders then drop, and you get little effort on defense from him. So, yeah, he had the body language of a kid that just got yelled at, like, ugh, all right, I get it. And, you know, you mentioned, too, during the commercial break, hey, did Gordon Hayward talk after this closed-door meeting? Nope. No. So I find that telling as well. I'm sure they went in on him.
They had to. I mean, I'm sure, you know, look, if there was, they kept saying.
Or they said it to Stevens.
Yeah. Well, they kept saying it was much needed. I'm sure that some of the veteran guys probably went after the young guys, and then the young guys went back at it and said, you know, well, what about Gordon? Because, you know, Hayward's a veteran who's having the issues they're getting on Tatum for. Not making plays, giving you nothing defensively, probably taking too many shots. So, and what's up with the minutes? You know, again, if you're Terry Rozier or one of those guys, you're looking at it and saying, well, why is this guy playing? Because he played for Brad in college? What's the deal here? I thought this was a meritocracy, and we just play the guys that give us the best chance to win, because that's not what happened last night.
We'll continue to mix in your Celtics calls, because, boy, that last night was ugly. 617-779-0985. But, again, we have a lot of takes and not a lot of time today because the Bruins have a matinee game, so we have to focus on the Patriots in this Josh Gordon situation, all unfolded this week. We'll do that for the next 30 minutes or so here on Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Josh Gordon is no longer a New England Patriot. There was a program in place. He has obviously for the last 5 years struggled to stay in football, a marvelously talented young man. He is gone, and I would imagine not only gone from the Patriots, gone from the NFL, which is a bummer. This ends New England's Super Bowl threat. It's over. It is officially over.
You know, it's obviously an unfortunate situation. Personally, I wish him the very best, as we all do, on this team. You know, he's made a statement. The organization's made a statement. The league's made a statement. I've spoken at him at length over the last 3 months, and so I don't really have anything at this point to add to that. It's a private matter. Hope that he's able to deal with it successfully.
You know, we all wish him the best. I think that's kind of how we all feel. We want him to do what's right for him.
He's a great teammate. Worked his butt off while he was here. So I think for us as players, we wish him the best personally. Football comes and goes. We're all going to compete. We're all going to work hard as far as our jobs playing football. You know, we're used to, I guess, adversity when it comes to just playing football. Lose a guy injury, guy can't play in a game, whatever that is. But, you know, I think life comes before all of that. So I think we wish him the best.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick, followed by quarterback Tom Brady and safety Devin McCourty, talking about Josh Gordon no longer with the team. Been a bad couple of weeks for the Pats. A hideous loss to Miami, the last play of the game, followed by this gross loss in Pittsburgh last Sunday where they put up just 10 points, and Tom Brady bailing out of throws again, and then this Josh Gordon news this week. It's Gaspar and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Chris, just with Josh Gordon, you know, you obviously feel for him. You wish him the best and that he can get his life in order. I can't imagine that he ends up playing in the NFL. The guy's had, you know, countless chances at this point, but, you know, the important thing is he gets his life in order. But in terms of the team, I said to me when this news broke, this was a bigger story about the Patriots in 2018 more than anything else. Like this Josh Gordon thing, like you had to think, considering his past, he could go AWOL or a story like this could happen at any moment. Could it happen within a week of him, you know, coming here after the trade with the Cleveland Browns? No, this reeks of the desperation of the move in the first place, and more than anything else, that it's a lost season for them. Doesn't necessarily mean like it's all over, the dynasty's over, it's crumbling. Like, and I know people have been drastic. Hell, Matt McCarthy said the...
Why'd you do your Alex Jones voice for the dynasty crumbling?
It's a false flag conspiracy. The Patriots are falling apart. Now, look, I don't think they're going to end up winning another Super Bowl with Brady and Belichick, but who knows? Maybe they can retool and do like the Denver Broncos did in 2015 next year. But for 2018?
Yes.
Yeah, no, it's a lost year.
It's starting to feel that way. It really is. It's starting to have that 2005, 2009 vibe to it, where there's just too many obstacles for them to overcome to ultimately be the team we expect them to be. This is a crushing blow to them. Look, I mean, he led them in receiving yards. He was a big part of what they were doing offensively. And I've said this before, it almost would have been better if he had come in here and played like Joey Galloway. Because what would have happened then is you would have said, okay, this guy's not going to fill the bill for us. We still need to go out and get somebody else. But instead, he came in here, and you know what? He was great.
He was good, yeah.
He was everything you needed and everything you wanted.
Gave you 11
right?
pretty good games.
And so you feel like you have it fixed, and then this happens. And this was what I was always concerned about, Jim. And it's why I said at the time they made this deal, when so many people were praising them and saying, you know, it's low risk, it's low risk, it's low risk. It was never low risk. It was low cost. It was about as high risk as it gets, because Josh Gordon is an at-risk person, and we wish him the best. The most important thing here is that he gets the help he needs and he gets his life straightened out, whether football's a part of it or not. But the reality is the Patriots and Bill Belichick took a huge gamble here out of desperation, because they were depleted at wide receiver and had made a number of misevaluations and had also had some bad luck with injuries. So they had nowhere else to turn. They turned to this guy. He filled the bill for a little bit, but guess what? Now when you need him the most, the most important games of the year, the only season that really matters in New England, postseason, not here, unavailable. That's a fail to me.
Right. You can't say, it's not going to matter, because that's the thing. Like, you're right. Like, he ultultimately mattered. It would have.
Yeah.
It would hurt less if he came here and he was a Joey Galloway.
Yeah.
Or just some guy.
Or Ocho Cinco.
Yeah. That was like, he's washed up. He can't do it anymore. No, he's infinitely talented. And that's what's so frustrating to see here. But, you know, the stats back it up. He played 72% of their offensive snaps, and he caught 40 passes for 720 yards, 18 yards per reception, the highest in the NFL since he joined the team, and he had 3 touchdowns. Like, he was a steady contributor to this team's offense.
He was a big part of it. I mean, just
outside of this last game.
Yeah.
Where,
yeah, he did nothing.
Like, he had the one catch, he had the bad drop, and then in that last play, after a timeout, was he winded? Like, I found it odd that he wasn't out there on that last play, and Cordell Patterson
strange.
Was.
Yeah.
So maybe there was something going on then. But No, they're going to miss him. So now what? Does it mean that – and this is where it's going to be interesting, and what I want to see happens here. Is there any way that this maybe galvanizes the team? If you're Philip Dorsett, if you're Chris Hogan, people that have been almost non-existent in this offense for most of the season, especially Dorsett over the last couple of months, do they now get an opportunity to shine and say, like, okay, like – now I got my job back, essentially, and I got something to prove here. Or Hogan, who's in a contract year, I got something to prove.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dorsett's the guy where maybe that could happen. You know, Hogan at this point, and he had the touchdown against the Steelers. That was a busted coverage. I'm not expecting him to have huge games here because when he was thrust into the role of being a number one / number two type receiver before, it didn't really work. It didn't really stick. That's one of the reasons they went out and got Josh Gordon. Let's see what Dorsett can do. You know, he's the guy that I think can benefit from this the most. Patterson will obviously get snaps there because he's the closest body type to Gordon. You know, big, fast, strong guy. That's Patterson. He can do that. He's not as savvy a route runner as Gordon, and I don't think that his football IQ is as high as Gordon's. Well, I mean, it was pretty amazing how quickly Gordon picked up the offense.
Right.
For all the talk over all these years about wide receivers not being able to acclimate to the offense, not being able to get on the same page with Brady, Gordon did a really good job. A really good job. One of the best jobs I've ever seen. So it's not going to be easy to replace that.
Tom and Drake it on Josh Gordon. You're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hey, Tom.
Hi, guys. How are you doing? Good morning. You kind of answered my question, but I was going to ask the question is, was it worth the risk in taking Josh Gordon on, knowing what his past history was, and moving forward, did they kind of sacrifice the offensive line, knowing that there's a possibility they could get suspended from the league? So hang up and I'll listen to your comments.
Yeah, I mean, was it worth it in the end? I mean, I would say no. I mean, I understand why they took the gamble. But
they're not in the one seed or anything
like
that.
Well, that's
the
thing. Yeah, and if they had locked up a bye or they were going to get the one seed because of him, I'd be like, fine. But don't you feel like they could have found another way to go 9-5?
Yeah.
I do too. That's the thing. And that's not knocking Josh Gordon, but I'm just saying I feel like 9-5 was still attainable without him. So as well as he played, I don't look at it and say that it was worth it. I mean, he in the end, when you need the guy the most, he's not going to be there.
Yeah, and the other thing too is I think it puts a spotlight on the inactivity at the trade deadline and the fact that they were in on wide receivers. Like Demaryius Thomas, again, it was Mike Giardi, NFL Network, and a couple of other reputable reporters saying the Patriots, okay, they were looking at wide receivers. Okay, mm-hmm. At that time, if you remember, that's the end of October. That's around that Bills Monday night game. That's where Josh Gordon, we first heard that, okay, he might have been fined. There was maybe a team suspension coming because he was late.
Sure.
Well, then that got squashed. And it was fake news and rubber run. No, it wasn't. They all just played dumb. But why were they sniffing around other wide receivers? Was it because of the, because of Josh Gordon's history, and they thought, hey, this could happen at any moment. What ultimately happened this week? I thought that was something that should have been addressed anyway. I hated that they did nothing, absolutely nothing. I was hoping for some depth at linebacker or maybe another wide receiver. That they did nothing? Well, now with what happened with Gordon this week proves they were wrong to do that as well. You couldn't have been in on Golden Tate, who went for whatever it was, a mid-rounder to Philadelphia Eagles.
Third.
And Demaryius Thomas, who they were in on but got cold feet because they didn't want to deal with the money aspect.
See, that was, and I know they were up against the cap, but that's one you look at it and you can legit second guess is, you know, should you have been more in on Demaryius Thomas? And here's the other part of the Gordon thing, right? Again, I have no idea what the mentality of the Patriots was at the time, but let's just talk about human nature. If you don't have something and you really need it, then you're willing to pay more for it. If you feel like you might have something, you can convince yourself that you don't need this other thing you have to pay for and you'll roll the dice. They knew they had Gordon. He was playing well. If he's not playing well, then I think that there's more urgency to go get Demaryius Thomas or Golden Tate. Instead, I think they sort of just convinced themselves like, these prices are high. Not quite what we want. Let's roll the dice with Josh. They did, and it came up snake eyes.
617-779-0985. You got any leftover thoughts on the Josh Gordon news from this week? Have at it. We want to hear from you. We have one more Patriots segment to go because sounds like, at least from a lot of the guys that cover the league and cover the team, like your Greg Bedards and Paul Perillos of the world, they think they're going to have a tough game tomorrow against the Buffalo Bills. We'll touch on that next here on Gaspar and Murray, 98.5 Sports Hub.
You're listening to Gaspar and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Allen looks to throw all day to scan the field. Allen breaks down and he takes off, using his legs again. He's in. Touchdown, Buffalo.
We're focused on Allen this week. He's big, he's fast, he's got a strong arm, he's accurate. He can stand in the pocket and throw, he can get out. There's some design runs, there's some quarterback scrambles, there's some scrambles or runs, or scrambles where he extends plays and throws it. It's our guy to defend. I mean, he had almost three quarters of their total offense against the Jets.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick talking about Bills rookie quarterback Josh Allen. He and the Bills earning a gritty win over the Detroit Lions last week, 14-13. They're now 5-9 on the season. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I've watched them. You know, every single game that the Bills have played, but I've read up enough about them, and I watch a lot of bad football throughout the year. I can tell you, they do play hard for Sean McDermott, their head coach. And Chris, it's Gasper and Murray, 98.5 of Sports. Throughout this week, filling in for Felger and Maz, first it was Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal on Tuesday, followed by Paul Perillo, Patriots Football Weekly on Wednesday, and then the voice of the New England Patriots here in the Sports Hub, Bob Soucy, yesterday in his appearance. All three of them think, this is going to be a game tomorrow as the Patriots host the Buffalo Bills at Gillette Stadium. I don't know. I think most people, when we saw the schedule come out, hell, even the last couple of weeks, as bad as the Pats have played, you've looked at these games, Bills, Jets, to wrap up the year. Fine, they'll finish 11-5 and they'll win the playoffs.
Well, especially since they're at home.
But I don't know. Mobile quarterback who's got wheels like Allen, and now, you know, he's actually, it's this game last week against Detroit, it was more with his arm than it was his legs. You know the issues that this team, especially this year, has had with mobile quarterbacks. Again, go back to the game that they won in Chicago, just barely over the Bears, Mitch Trubisky, and the job he did with his legs. Like, I guess I can kind of see where they're coming from. Like, this just feels like, at least in the first half, it could be a bit of a tractor.
Yeah, I mean, I think Allen's a concern, the way he can create with his legs, and also the Bills have excellent pass defense on the other side. The Patriots saw that the first time these teams met. So when you look at that, I mean, those are issues for the Patriots. They have had issues containing mobile quarterbacks. This kid also has a cannon for an arm. He's not that accurate,
right?
But he can chuck it. And I could see one of those ones where he breaks outside the pocket. He's been running all day for first downs. They're worried about him running. Suddenly he pulls up and throws it 60 yards down the field. And, you know, there's Robert Foster, who's had a great year for them. And it's a 65-yard touchdown. So I could see that. You know, at the end of the day, I think the Patriots win it. But I think it's going to be a struggle for three quarters. I do. I just don't think that the Bills have enough offensively to be able to win this game. And unless they can get those big plays that I just talked about, I think the Patriots will be able to shut them down inside the red zone. But I think this one could be a little bit of a tractor pull.
You sound like you're on my side in terms of saying, you know, this feels like a lost season. Yeah. They're still going to make the postseason, but, you know, the expectations aren't as high anymore. But
yeah, I'm ready to give. I'm not saying they're dead, but I think, you know, we're close to administering last rites.
Do you still give them a chance at a bye?
Yeah, because, I mean, the way things, you know, break for them, and they have traditionally and historically, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, let's see what happens. San Diego and Baltimore are playing today. So, I mean, let's see. Or Los Angeles and Baltimore are playing today. Let's see what happens in that game. And would anybody be surprised if Houston lost at Philly on Sunday?
No. You know, the beginning of the week, I thought,
especially since Foles is playing,
I thought no. But think of it this way, because you know me, I usually think more negative than positive always.
That's true.
I was born. We as Patriots fans, you need Nick Foles, right?
Yeah.
You need Nick Foles. Nick Foles is going to be Nick Foles, like the real Nick Foles, not I made a deal with Satan to play as well as I did in the postseason.
Oh,
Nick Foles.
Man.
I'm going to play as well as I did in the Super
Bowl
and shred this. Oh, and, you know, I convinced myself. I was like, you know what? The Pats need Nick Foles to be, you know, Superman Nick Foles like he was last year in the postseason. Ain't going to happen. No, the Houston Texans are going to find a way to win that, find a way to win that game and pork the Pats. You watch. Yeah, you know, I've kind of resigned myself to the fact they're going to be playing wild card weekend just because, again, lost season. It's felt ugly. A lot of parallels.
You just need one loss from the Texans. That's
I know. It ain't going to happen. I've resigned myself to it, but there's so many parallels to 2009 that I think it's happening. Who's a worse matchup on wild card weekend, the Baltimore Ravens or Indianapolis Colts, if they end up getting in?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, obviously the Patriots trounced the Colts when the Colts came here, but the Colts were missing T.Y. Hilton. Darius Leonard, who you can make a case is the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year, didn't play in that game. Anthony Walker got hurt.
Everyone was hurt for the Colts that night.
They were.
Look at the second half of that game. They shredded them. The Colts shredded the Patriots in the second half of that game. They couldn't stop Eric Ebron.
Yeah, I was going to say Ebron had a really good year. Marlon Mack's getting it going now. But also there's that Ravens factor of, look, here's another super mobile quarterback and an excellent defense. That's really tough. I still would say Baltimore just because I think that they have sort of the institutional attitude to not be intimidated by the Patriots. The Colts, I think Andrew Luck has had no success against the Patriots, and they have a lot of young guys on that defense. The moment might be too big for them.
But Frank Reich is the head coach there. He was the OC in Philly last year, so he knows how to attack that defense. It's either way, there's two great storylines, like sub-storylines with either of those teams when it comes to Josh McDaniels, because McDaniels had worked out Lamar Jackson and might have wanted to draft him.
Yeah.
At least that's my theory. And with the Colts, well, you know, he left them at the altar in terms of being their next head coach. So
And the guy who is their defensive coordinator, I can't pronounce his last name. It's like Eberflus. Josh lined him up, and they decided to keep him after the fact. And he's had a great year for that defense. So you can imagine that guy in a playoff game trying to stick it to Josh on the other side.
Fred Norwood on the Patriots. You're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello, Fred.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Merry Christmas.
You too.
Basically, it seems to me like Belichick has the same offense he would have had if he had kept Garoppolo. This offense seems to be more geared to the outside or deep throws. They take a first-round flyer on Michelle. It just seems like he had a plan to run with Garoppolo, and then when Brady stayed, he didn't really change his plan back to do the death by a thousand cuts that Brady is so good at. And it just seems like he wants to stay the course with this until he gets his next guy, which will be the same type of offense. What do you guys think? The offense seems like it's changed.
I think it's changed because they don't have the personnel. I mean, they let Danny Amendola go. Obviously, you mentioned they drafted Michelle, but all that stuff happened well after they traded Garoppolo. So the timeline's a little off there, in my opinion. If anything, the drafting of Sony Michel, which I'm still in favor of, I mean, that's what you do for a 40-plus quarterback. You try and give him a running game. You know, you look at sort of guys like John Elway in his late 30s, you know, and Peyton Manning. If you can give them a running game, it really helps. So in that way, I think it's built more for Brady than for Garoppolo.
I would agree. And I thought the Brandon Cooks move, that was for Garoppolo. And since he was gone, well, we didn't need him anymore. And let's get a better first-round draft pick for him. Mike in the truck, you're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello, Mike. Oop, what happened here? Mike, hello.
Hey, can you hear me all right?
Yes,
hey, Mike.
Yeah, sorry about that. I had a question. I think that Tom Brady is hurt, right? That's the big, you know, news rumor. And I do think that the offense hinges on him being healthy. I think if you start him, you know, these next two games, I don't think he's going to win. I don't think he can step into his throws. So my opinion is the Patriots are going to go 9-7 regardless.
Yes.
You're
going to lose to the Jets?
Into the playoffs because I don't think Miami can win out. That being said, is there any thought to maybe resting Brady, obviously not this week, but maybe next week, and trying to roll the dice that way? If everything hinges on his health, is there any,
I
don't know.
I mean, I think a lot of it depends on what happens. I mean, maybe, you know, let's see where they're at. I don't know all the permutations, but let's say, you know, you're in a situation where Houston loses this week. You can't rest Brady next week. You're talking about a first round bye. They don't have enough cushion for that stuff. I mean, it doesn't. They're not going to be able to do that.
I'm with the caller, and I don't think that he's right. You know, so you have the speculative reporting from Mike Giardi, NFL Network, and then from Jeff Howell of The Athletic that he's dealing with an MCL sprain or tear in his knee. That's what's going on there with the brace, and I believe that. I'm taking that as gospel because I don't think he's right, and this is why he's falling to the left and bailing out of throws. Even still, even if the leg was broken, Chris, they're going to have to drag him off the field.
Yeah,
not outside of a coaching decision to save him from himself. Brady's going to play. He's going
to
play.
No, he definitely is. And here's the thing. I know we have to, you know, go to break here, and then it'll be the Sports Hub Celtics show. But it's not quite as dire as it looks. I mean, I could definitely foresee a scenario where they're the 3 seed and they end up hosting the AFC Championship game here. Because either Kansas City or Los Angeles is going to end up in the 5 slot. They're probably going to play the Steelers. So those are two really good teams.
Sure.
One's going to eliminate the other. And then whoever wins that game goes and plays whoever's the number 1 seed. And could eliminate them, and all you'd have to do is win a wild card game and go to Houston and beat Bill O'Brien. I still think you're capable of that. And then all of a sudden you look up, it's the AFC Championship game, and you're hosting it.
All right. Well, as Chris just mentioned, we do have to get to the Sports Hub Celtics show. It's only 30 minutes today because the Bruins are playing a matinee. And speaking of the Bruins, Tim McCone is going to give you an update right now on who's going to be playing in this game. So he's going to get you caught up on that. And then we'll come back, do 30 minutes on last night's craptacular against the Milwaukee Bucks as we kick off the Sports Hub Celtics show here on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Al Horford, 2-for-2, and a steal.
Now it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics show with Gaspar and Murray. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we got a very talented group. Human nature can cause you to, you know, to listen to all the hype that was surrounding us and things like that. But, you know, especially in the regular season, the team that plays the hardest usually wins on any given night. And just being consistent. So we got to be consistent and play hard. And the rest will take care of itself.
98.5 The Sports Hub. It is the Sports Hub Celtics show. Jim Murray, Chris Gaspar, and you at 617-779-0985. That was Jason Tatum after the 36-minute closed-door meeting following the Celtics' blowout loss to the Milwaukee Bucks, 120-107, was the final at TD Garden last night. The Celtics have now dropped three straight games, and Jason Tatum being asked after this closed-door meeting, hey, you know, Jason, you think maybe you and some of the other guys in this team have bought into the hype surrounding this team? And he admitted, yes, and that was very refreshing and vindicating to hear, because we were right. Everything that we have been speculating that's been wrong with this team, I think that is confirmed in that clip right there.
Yeah, I mean, I think they got into a situation where, you know, they sort of just felt like they could roll out the basketballs and win games because they had so much more talent than everybody else. And you still have to put in the work and make sure that you mesh and that the pieces fit. And that's been the most disconcerting thing, I think, through the first 31 games is it doesn't look like the pieces fit. It doesn't. And now it's up to Brad Stevens to make them fit. It's up to the players to accept roles that maybe are not their preferred or ideal roles to try and make it fit. And then there's also just the possibility, Jim, that it just doesn't fit and that they have to jettison a piece.
Well, that's what it feels like. I mean, just in terms of this offense, considering the talent, they should be better. We've said this time and time again since this season started, and last night was just kind of a microcosm of it. They get out to a 10-1 lead, and it's like, oh, okay, all right, they're coming to play tonight.
Yeah.
And then
everybody at Finn McCool's happy.
You go to take a leak, and you come back, and it's like, what the hell has happened? And they have a near 6-minute stretch where they score, I think, one bucket. And it evaporates just like that. The same thing happened the other night against Phoenix, the lowly Phoenix Suns, and it's happened time and time again so far this season, especially against bad teams like Orlando, like the Knicks before Thanksgiving. Okay, the Bucks, like, they're real competition. Giannis, likely the MVP as of right now in the NBA. But it's a lack of cohesion. I think that there's some real animosity between some of these players, and I think that they also bought into their own press clippings before the season.
Well, yeah, again, you know, you have the team agenda. Well, I can't remember who it was. I think it was Jaylen Brown who said it. But basically, like, you know, we have to be all in. And it feels like maybe there are some guys who, I don't want to say they're not all in, but they're not all in on the team goals. They're more in on their goals. And that's what happens with younger players. I mean, if you're Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum, you know, you want to win and you don't want to hurt the team. But at the same time, you're looking to establish yourself in the NBA. You're looking to take that next step. In your career, you're looking to climb up another rung on the NBA, you know, ladder, on the hierarchy of players. And so while you're trying to do that, you think you're helping the team win, but now maybe you have to take a step back and sacrifice a little. And you can be asked to do that, but human nature is, okay, I'll do that. What about this guy over here? What about Gordon Hayward? So you're asking me to sacrifice, but Brad, what are we doing with Gordon? Because his whole situation is basically based off reputation. He's not really helping us win. And that's where you sort of get these conflicts.
So how much are we still allowing in terms of, well, it's part of the recovery process. Gordon Hayward's trying to play his way back. Because, I said with Jones, just a smidge jokingly, this week filling in for Felger and Maz, well, we'll give him till Christmas Day. Because to me, Christmas Day, and I think most NBA fans, that's when the season truly starts. I get it. It's a horrific injury. It's tough to come back from. But, dude, like, last night, over 35 minutes, 3-for-13, not one single assist. Like, you referred to him earlier as a G League player.
Yeah,
last
he did.
Night,
and
you're
did
not
play
wrong.
Like a G League guy last night.
So if you're some of these other guys, or Jaylen Brown, who I understand, like, looks for some fans right now, he's very polarizing, and it's been an up and down year for him. But you get a game like you get from Brown last night, and there's some frustrating spots there too, missing free throws, the flexing getting teed up for it. But still, he was their best player. If you're looking at him being like, dude, I play behind him right now. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be like sort of a night to night thing. You know, people do need roles, and McComb mentioned this positionless basketball. And I think that what's happened with the Celtics is that in trying to play positionless basketball, Jim, they played, at least until they redid the starting lineup with Morris and Smart, role-less basketball. You know, guys didn't have roles. Everybody's kind of coming in doing their own thing, freelancing. You know, now let's run this play for Gordon and this play for Kyrie and this play for Tatum, and there's no flow. And so they have to get to a point where they play as a team. And there's more flow. And then I think defensively, more effort. And the one thing I look at with this team, we've talked about this before, that concerns me is I think there's so many guys whose contribution and input is directly tied to their offense. And there's only one basketball. And you need more guys who can influence and affect the game without putting the ball in the basket. You know, Horford can do that. Marcus Smart can do that. I think Marcus Morris can do that a little bit. But really, his benefit this year has been being a knockdown shooter. You need more of that because you have a lot of guys, like, if they're driving and their pull-ups aren't going in, their drives aren't going in, and their threes aren't going in, what are they giving you? Like, Jaylen Brown needs to be better defensively. he should be a better, like, he should adopt the role and say, okay, next to Smart, I'm going to be the second best defender on our team, and I'm going to cover all these
guys.
He
was last year.
And that's how, like, on this team, and I don't know if he's a good enough shooter for this, but this is what he needs to work on and be. He needs to be a 3-and-D type player who also gets looks in transition. Like, that probably needs to be his role on this team.
617-779-0985. Your thoughts on last night's Celtics' ugly loss to the Bucks, and then this closed-door meeting when it was all over. And Jeff in Sudbury, you're next here, or first up, rather, on the Sports Hub Celtics show today. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Yeah, they stink. Everybody needs to figure out what their role is exactly and buy in, because right now nobody's playing good. People think they're better than they are. Nobody's giving the effort. And, you know, Gordon Hayward, this might be a lost season for him, and the minutes is a problem for everyone else. But if that's what it is, then they need to figure it out and just accept it and do what they can do to make the team better.
So what's the – if you're in Brad Stevens' shoes, yeah, or even Danny Ainge's shoes, like, yeah, what's the fix in terms of maybe having to move a guy? Who would be out? What do you do? Because the schedule is now going to get a hell of a lot tougher.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, I think Rozier's the guy that I always sort of look at and say, you know, because I think he's chafing at his role, and he's the guy that I think has been asked to sacrifice the most. I know that he is Kyrie Irving insurance, but the reality is if Kyrie Irving gets hurt, you know, your championship hopes are probably out the window anyway. So that's one move you could make. Or the other thing you do, I think, if you're Brad, you know, it's a balancing act, and I understand it, because you want this team to reach its full potential, and I think they feel like Gordon Hayward's tied to that. But at least for the next 10, 12 games, I think that a lot of the playing time that gets doled out needs to be tied to performance and not reputation. You know, if a guy has, that's one thing with this team that I found very frustrating this year. Almost every team that you would see that's a good team, when a guy has it going and it's his night, they know it's his night and they'll find him and they'll get him the ball. I don't feel like that happens on this team. It can be somebody's night and you're like, ooh, Kyrie has it tonight.
Yeah.
Or like even Hayward, you know, Hayward has it tonight. Tatum has it tonight. And I don't feel like they feed that guy. I feel like they're still like, oh, well, I got to get my shots up. And so I think they need to understand that on a night-to-night basis, we talked a lot about role. Your role could be different. One night, you're the man. You're the guy that has it going. You're going to drop 25. You're our guy. The next night, it's like it might be somebody else's night, and you might only play 23 minutes, and you might only take 5 shots, and you have to be okay with that.
So I do wonder, too, after this closed-door meeting, how much actually got solved, if anything at all. Especially when
kind of sounds like it was just a bitch session.
Well,
to be honest.
Exactly. Well, especially when Kyrie Irving is saying stuff like this after that meeting.
At this point, it really comes down to that cohesion, you know, really being able to trust the pass, trust what we got going out there. There's obviously some selfish play going out there where obviously we have very talented guys, but we're better as a team when we're moving the basketball. And if it gets down to the end of the shot clock, that's when we start shooting our ISO plays rather than, you know, if we have nothing in transition, shooting with 16 or 17 on the clock, or guys shooting fadeaways or something like that. I get caught up in that as well. And for me, it's a hard challenge because there's a balance that I have. I literally can do anything I want out there anytime I want. But at the same time, it's what can I do for my teammates to be more successful? So, you know, just being more conscientious of that.
So I can do anything I want out there anytime I want. But at the same time, it's what can I do for my teammates to be more successful? Do you want to be a leader or don't you want to be a leader, Kyrie Irving? Because this has been the seesaw with him all year long.
I think he's trying.
But the guys that you're also throwing under the bus there, the young guys, that's who he's talking about, Tatum, Brown, players like that, they're the guys that actually made it to Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals without you last year, Kyrie. So if I'm, while on the one hand he's right, on the other, if you are one of these young players who's frustrated, like Brown, like a Rozier, or anyone else, you're going to be like, dude, where were you? We got there without you. Yeah, you helped us in terms of seeding, but, you know, we almost got to the finals without you, so shut the F up. After all, by the way, after saying, well, you know, he doesn't really want to be a leader. We maybe need to bring in someone that's like a 13, 14-year vet to bring him into the room in the last swoon that they've had. It just, you're right when you say, like, I don't think anything was solved in that meeting. It just sounded like one big bitch session.
Yeah, it's kind of what it sounded like. Like, you know, an airing of grievances. Again, when I go back to...
It was Festivus for the Celtics last night.
I like that. I mean, it's just, you know, when they start talking about it was much needed, doesn't that sound like... That, you know, everybody just put their issues on the table and what was actually resolved.
Yeah. Uncle Steve's a drunk and he ruined Thanksgiving. Yeah. Well, this is what I got to say about your father. Like, that's all that sounded like it was last night. It was a Festivus miracle. It was the airing of grievances. Your thoughts on this ugly loss to the Bucks last night for the Celtics? 617-779-0985. Write your calls. And I do want to touch on Giannis, too, because, boy, He's what a stud that kid is. That's a guy I watch, Chris, and I'm like, I'm just jealous. Like, I love Tatum, and I think that there's, you know, you can, he's a potential superstar in this league. But Giannis, oh, that's a guy I watch. I'm like, ooh, duh. I'm just like so, I'm so envious. I wish I could root for him just as a Celtic. All right, 617-779-0985. One segment to go here and an abbreviated Sports Hub Celtic show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtic Show on the home of the seas, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Take us with you on your phone with the TuneIn app.
That's too easy right there.
It's the Sports Hub Celtic Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Giannis, right-hand dribble, switches to the left, attacking Ojeleye, gets to the rim and throws it down with two hands. And that's why he leads the league in dunks by such a wide margin, because a lot of guys don't have the athleticism. From that point, they can score, but they're not going to dunk. He gets there off balance and still has the elevation to dunk it.
Well, it went behind his back to do it.
Brogdon, bounce pass into the paint. Here's Giannis, another dunk over Tatum. And again, the difference between him is that he just seems to be able to stay in the air an extra second or two and get to that rim.
Is this Plastic Man?
Bucks 120, Celtics 107 last night at TD Garden. Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 The Sports Hub. And that was like a ho-hum 30 points on 12 shots for Giannis last night, too. That's what makes it so ridiculous. Like, I fell out of bed, just 30 points. But he is spectacular to watch. He really is. And right now feels like the league MVP.
Yeah, I would agree with that at this point. I mean, I think it's either him or Kawhi, right?
All right, you guys need some bitching, though, when it comes to this team. So here's your time to vent in the next 8 to 10 minutes before we get to the Bruins Dunkin' Donuts pregame show as the Bruins have a matinee game against the visiting Nashville Predators. And it's also going to mark the return of Patrice Bergeron today. So be listening for that. But let's get to your calls with this gross loss last night, this underachieving Celtics team losing to the Bucks and Giannis at home. Ryan in West Roxbury, you're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics show. Hello.
Hey, guys, how are you doing?
Good, what's up?
Good.
So what I noticed last night, the players were right to hold that player-only meeting. There's got to be a lot of grievances aired, and I think that they do need to really kind of figure out how to work cohesively as a team. But one of the bigger concerns I have is, what is this team without an interior presence? Without Marcus Morris, without Aaron Baines, you saw Milwaukee play very comfortably, doing man-to-man and playing defense on the perimeter. I didn't see at least one time where they were scared about any, you know, offensive cuts to the rim or anything, because not only did they have the size advantage with Giannis, which, by the way, nobody's been able to figure out yet, but it's been a consistent theme, not only with Milwaukee, but
Phoenix.
Phoenix. That was huge with them. So
it really
states how much the Celtics team really relies on a big presence, like a big man presence down low. So again, this is when you have to start to think, if, you know, front office sees this and the coach sees this, you're going to have to start asking what, like, going forward, is Anthony Davis something that you need?
Well, and Ryan, it's a good point, because, I mean, these last two games, they got killed in the glass. And Giannis, there's nothing you can do about. Ayton, the rookie, was great on the boards on Wednesday night. But, okay, obviously you're going to be affected because you don't have Horford and Morris because of injury right now. I think a minor quick fix that I can immediately think of is maybe more minutes for Robert Williams and less for Daniel Theis. But overall, when you don't have those guys, too small, too soft. It's just that simple.
Well, the other thing I would say, too, is you're right. They've been out-rebounded by a margin of, you know, 38 in the last two games. The issue, I think, too, is that they're trying to play this dribble-drive offense, and I don't think they're really a great three-point shooting team. They're good. They're okay. They're not great. Like, I actually would like to see more shooting on this team. Like, that's where I think Hayward sort of hurts you, not being the guy he was before. Like, if he could come back and just be a spot-up shooter, I think that would help you a great deal. They have guys who can make threes, but there aren't a lot of pure shooters on this team. I'd say it's Kyrie, it's Marcus Smart, and after that, it's Kyrie and Marcus Morris.
Smart thinks he is.
And then, yeah, I know. And then after that, it's kind of like, oh, is it this guy's night or no?
Anthony and Taunton, you're next here on the Sports Hub Celtic Show. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show. Obviously, I'm calling about the Celtics. They suck recently. It's driving me nuts. Two things I wanted to talk about is, Brad Stevens has been here, what, 5 years, five seasons? He's done pretty good. I think he's a good coach. This year, this is the most talented roster he has. And the way they're playing, at what point do you start to get on Brad Stevens a little bit and give him some of the blame, because it's not a lack of talent. It seems like it's a lack of effort, and I think Brad Stevens needs to step it up. And one other thing, Kyrie has not, obviously he has not signed here long term yet, and he did verbally commit, but if things don't go well this season, I still think there's a chance that he could leave and not like what he sees here.
Thanks for the call, Anthony. So quickly, yeah, on those two things, in terms of the blame pie, how much should go to Brad Stevens? And then with Kyrie, I mean, you didn't take him at his word from the get-go.
No, so. I mean, again, I think the sentiment was sincere at the time, but it's not binding. And I think I would not be surprised in the least if he changed his mind. Like, I don't think it's a binding thing. I think it's how he felt at the time. Let's see where we're at the end of the season. In terms of Brad, you know, I'm not going to put a percentage on it, but I think, yeah, he absolutely deserves blame. I think he's stuck with the starting lineup with Hayward in it for too long. And I think right now he's struggling to figure out how to handle Hayward. I think he knows what the guy's capable of, and he's trying to get the most out of him. But I think he's also a human being, and he feels that sort of personal responsibility based on their personal relationship to get this guy back to the player that he was. But the reality is he's not there yet, and there are other guys that should be getting minutes on a given night.
Jamal in Dorchester, you're next here in the Sports Hub Celtic Show. Hey, Jamal.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Thanks for taking the call. So the two things that I wanted to touch on were obviously the loss last night. The way Giannis played, he played lights out, and the Celtics just sucked last night. So that's going to be the result every single time you go up and you put an effort out like that. They do need to get some better cohesiveness going forward, because they just haven't had it all year long besides those one or two games where we've seen the spots of brightness. The other thing that I wanted to touch on was, I know we can't talk about it this year, but really revisiting the whole Anthony Davis thing, what do you guys think about packaging Brown, Rozier, Hayward in the draft pick and going after Anthony Davis next year? Because I think we should really build around Tatum, Irvin, and Davis if we can make that possible. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Yeah, I mean, I would be down for that. I mean, without looking at trade machine and knowing whether that would work. I mean, you know, we've talked about this before. Really, the elephant in the room on that one is, can you trade Gordon Hayward? And I know Felger and Maz have said they can't do it because then no free agent will ever sign here again. I don't believe that. You know, free agents want to play not so much for teams a lot of times. They want to play with players. So Anthony Davis, obviously, we all know, is a pretty popular player in the league. I think Kyrie's pretty popular too. If you had those two guys, I don't think trading Gordon Hayward would prevent you from bringing in any other sort of free agents who would want to come here.
Well, just quickly, it feels like Anthony Davis to the Lakers is becoming more of a reality as after the Lakers and Pelicans played last night. LeBron and Anthony Davis reportedly met for dinner in L.A., Just to chat it up, like a couple of gals over coffee. Yeah, I'm sure that's all we were talking about. Well, we'll just talk about what's going on throughout the league and just in our lives. That's going to wrap it up. An abbreviated show today because we have the Bruins coming up. Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame show. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers are going to lead you into today's game against the Nashville Predators. For Mason Souza, who produced today's show, Tim McCone on the headlines, and you, Chris Gasper, as well. Always a pleasure.
Hey, man. Happy holidays.
You
enjoy
too.
It. See you on the other side.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Go Bees. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.